not everybody's a prophet.
Right.
You know, but people that are prophets are work who flow in prophecy. Like I tell people, I'm a minister. I flow in prophecy. I'm not a prophet. But if you're going to flow in prophecy or be a prophet, you had better be an intercessor. If you're not an intercessor, I'm sorry, you're not a prophet.
Wow. And
that's my personal opinion. As my father used to, my grandfather used to say, that's like noses. Everybody has one.
God promises in Joel 2:28 to pour out His Spirit on all humanity. Welcome to Global Outpouring, where we contend for that promised outpouring, we equip for that outpouring, so that we may engage in that very outpouring. I'm Philip Buss.
And I'm Sharon Buss. Welcome to the podcast today. We're so delighted that you're with us for this episode. We have with us a man who's becoming very dear to us, Ken DeLoach. And he was given a word back in 1978 that he's been living out all these days. And it's about preparing him to be used by God in the spirit of Elijah in the end times. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so happy that you're with us. And we want to encourage you, if you haven't already done so, to go out to our website, globaloutpouring.net, and make sure that you are on our email list. There's a subscribe button there. And I really think that you're going to have some feedback on this episode in particular. There is a feedback form there that you can fill out, or you can email us at feedback@globaloutpouring.org. Let us know where you're listening from and how this is helping you to see how you are being prepared by God for the ministry that He has for you in these end times. Well, Pastor Ken DeLoach, it's such a blessing and a pleasure to have you with us. You've been a member of this ministry for many years, since 1978, is that right?
That is correct.
And we've just recently reconnected because you were living in Georgia and not we didn't see a whole lot of you all those years. But welcome to the podcast.
We're delighted
to have you. So we greatly appreciate the fact that you came to our Generation Awakening Youth and Young Adults Retreat recently. And you humbled yourself to cook for us. And you're a pastor. And, of course, a pastor will do whatever a pastor needs to do.
Yeah, that is the truth.
But tell us a little bit about yourself and your upbringing. Like, did you grow up in a Christian home? Tell us about where you came from.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the podcast. I appreciate it so much. It's an honor to be here with you guys. I grew up in a home that we knew about God. And when I was younger, we went to church once in a while, not regularly. It was not until I became a teenager that we started going regularly to church then. I grew up in a little town in South Georgia, in the middle of nowhere. We used to make a joke that we live so far back in the country, we have to pump sunshine into us back there.
That's funny.
So, you know, on a dirt road back in on a farm.
Yeah.
Raised on a farm. And I thank God for my upbringing, but it was a difficult childhood. Very painful childhood.
I think I remember you talking about your father wasn't a good father.
No, my father was an alcoholic, was very abusive, not only to my mother, but to us children. He didn't take care of his family. That's the easiest way I know how to say it. He abused his family.
Yeah.
And it was difficult, you know, I was the eldest. And to see these things happen, and there was nothing I could do. You know, I wanted to do something, but at the time, I was just a child, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to protect my mom to keep her. I've seen him beat her mercilessly and put her in the hospital. And I've seen him run her over with a pickup truck. I've had myself covered in his blood. My mother would work all week long in a sewing factory. And come home in the end of the week with a paycheck, and he'd come in and steal it and go spend it on his drinking and his ladies.
Oh, mercy. Oh,
and we'd go pick up Coca-Cola bottles alongside the highway and turn them in for money. That back then you could get a deposit for them. And we would get mayonnaise and bread and sometimes some eggs. A lot of times supper was just mayonnaise and bread.
Oh, mercy.
Wow. Yeah. And it was a time when everybody had electricity, but a lot of times we didn't. We could, would have to cook on a potbelly stove, or we'd have to chop wood for the fireplace. And, you know, my friends didn't do that, but that's the way I had to grow up. Wow. And like I said, I thank God for that now. Mm-hmm. But then it seemed to me to be an unfair burden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wow. It really was an unfair burden. Mm-hmm. But, you know, your dad probably was raised that way too.
No, he was not.
Really? Now,
well, earlier in life he was. His father was an alcoholic and very strong-willed man. He was a moonshine runner.
Oh, my. Mm.
And he was the type that if he felt like he wanted to fight, he'd knock somebody's hat off and then beat the daylights out of him.
Oh, my.
That was my grandfather. He was a strong man. And then he got arrested for moonshining and sent off to a work camp. Back then, they sent moonshiners to work camps. To train them to do something else.
Wow.
And every That's night, good. They had an evangelist. And they had to go to church every night.
Wow.
To be preached to. Mm. And my grandfather told me, this happened before I was born. He would tell me the story that one night they had a lady preacher who came to the tent and spoke, and he gave his life to Christ.
Wow.
And he was never the same. He was the most godly man that I knew. That was the grandfather I knew. I consider him my dad a lot of times, you know.
Wow.
I knew the godly man. I didn't know the rough and tumble moonshiner.
Yeah. Wow.
So my dad had that, some of that, but he also saw the other side. He was taken to church when his father got saved, but dad just seemed to want to go his own way, as some do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Did he come to the Lord before he passed?
I talked to him many times in his later years. I said, now, Dad, I know I've talked to you before, but as a son, I would not be doing my sonship part if I didn't ask you again, are you sure things are good with you in the Lord? Mm-hmm. He says, he'd say, son, you don't have to worry about it. It's taken care of. That's all he would ever say.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah. So I just had to depend upon what he said. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Yeah. Well, I love what Dean Braxton says from his experience in heaven, his hour and 45 minutes outside of his body. Mm-hmm. He said, it is almost impossible for someone to go to hell if someone's praying for them.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I needed to hear that.
Yeah. God has a way. He said that God is strategizing. Jesus is the greatest strategist, and he's always strategizing about how to get people there. He's trying to get people in. He is not trying to keep people out.
Yeah, I love, and I can't remember the scripture right now that talks about that he has mercy, that he's so merciful that he will chase you down and pour his mercy upon you.
Yeah. Yes.
That's our God.
Yeah. I think that's like the end of the 23rd Psalm.
I think you're right.
And it's kind of like that song we hear is Goodness is Running After Me. Running
I love that song. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Chasing you down.
Because that's me. I say, Lord, I am so thankful that your mercies are new each morning because I wear them out every day. I do. That's just me. I said, I'm the chiefest of sinners, and Lord, I got to have those mercies. Please bring them this way.
So how did you come to the Lord?
Well, when, like I said, we started going to church when I was about 11 years old.
Is it you and your mom or just your kids?
Mom would take us when she would sometimes, but my uncle, my mother's sister's husband, they started a bus ministry and pick up kids. So they started picking us up.
Okay.
Yeah, and taking us.
Okay.
And fell in love. That's where I felt safe because home was a nightmare. Mm. And church became my sanctuary. I loved it every time I got a chance to go to the church because I got out of, being honest, the hell at home.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So when I was about 12 years old, the pastor's wife, I was in her Sunday school class. I was little, it was about 10 to 12 year olds were in the Sunday school class. And I remember her, she'd said it many times, but that day something clicked. It was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And she says, anybody want to receive the Lord as their Savior? And I raised my hand and prayed the Lord's Prayer then. And he just changed my life from that point on. Yeah. Wow. It's just, I began to see things so differently.
Yeah.
My eyes were open.
It changes everything.
Because I'll be honest with you, I hated my father because of the way he was mistreating my mom, basically. I didn't care about me. I just hated what I saw going to my mother and to my younger brothers and sisters. And little by little, God began to change that.
Wow.
Began to give me a love. Now, it took me until I was a teenager to truly forgive him.
Yeah.
I can remember exactly where I was at when was able to forgive him. I was in a little church in South Arkansas. I had come to Bible school at Little Rock at the Rock Bible Institute, which does not exist anymore. It was an extension of Christ for the Nations. Yeah. And the Christ for Nations Choir had come up to sing at this church in Southern Arkansas when we went to see them. And I had already been praying and seeking God to help me get over this anger and this unforgiveness. Because when I was 14, I was so sick, I had an ulcer half the size of my stomach.
Oh, my.
And I weighed 90 pounds, and I'm as tall as I am now. I grew fast, tall, quickly, and didn't grow anymore after that. They called me Mr. Bones because I was so skinny, you could see my bones through my shirt.
Oh, wow.
And it was because I couldn't eat because I was so sick from all the stuff. And I had been asking the Lord. I had started learning about the true forgiveness when I started going to Bible school. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand all the steps of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I started walking through those steps as I learned them through the Word. And that night, we were in service, and it was just a beautiful singing service. There was no preaching, wonderful choir. And they just invited people to come who needed to pray. And just something in me welled up and said, this is the time. So I went to the altar, and I just broke. I cried and wept and cried, and I left it at the altar.
Beautiful.
Wow. I began to love my dad. And I took care of my dad his last days. I provided a home for him, took care of him, and was with him when he passed.
Wow. Yeah. What a wonderful healing.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Did your siblings reconcile with him?
Yes. All four of us did. Well, there's five of us. I have a half-brother also. Yeah, all five of us were there except for one of my brothers. He was not able to get there, but we were all with him when he passed.
Wow.
Wow.
Did your mother get where she could forgive him?
Oh, yes. They became friends. And when I think I was probably in my mid-20s, they worked things out and became friends. We're friends the rest of his life.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
He was married 8 times and lived with about that many more.
Oh, my goodness.
And then in my 20s, I was still hearing about half-brothers and sisters I did not know existed.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a God thing.
I love God's redemption.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He has such a way of turning all things together for good to them that love him and that are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. He, when I let go of that, it freed me. It brought me to another level that I never really thought I could get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was still at that time extremely skinny and, you know, we're sickly. But then after that, God just began to change me, change my attitude, change my mindset, you know, just change the way I saw the world.
I imagine that ulcer went away as a result.
Oh, yes, it did. Totally healed.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, unforgiveness eats you up.
Oh, it does. It's like fire shut up in our bones, as the word tells us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a lot of doctors I've talked to said not only causes ulcers, they said it also causes arthritis, extreme cases of arthritis.
Wow.
Because of bitterness and unforgiveness.
Yeah. And also cancer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. I'll just bring it in here that Shirley Smith.
Yeah.
Mama Shirley.
Right.
Had that testimony. And,
yes.
And we'll put a link to her testimony of how she overcame cancer by forgiving.
Yes.
We'll put a link in the show notes for that because it's an incredible, glorious testimony.
It is. It's amazing.
But unforgiveness will affect your health.
Yes, it will.
Big
and
time.
See, Mama Shirley was in the class that I came to go to Little Rock Bible School. So I was learning from her also. The Lord put us side by side in the classroom.
Wow.
And and she helped me walk through that same thing. They were, her and James. No, I don't, Papa James was there, but I know she was there that night. And she is the one that helped me begin to help me walk through that process.
Wow.
Was there when that night the Lord touched you to forgive.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, she was there because she was the one that was helping me walk through it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Glory to God. And as a result of you being in that Bible school, that's how you met our founder.
Yes, exactly. She came to our Bible school one night and did a service for us. And I was just 2 years out of the Baptist church. That I was 18, just graduated from high school in the spring, and I started there in the fall of 77. And that's when I met Shirley for the first time. And I had come in through the charismatic renewal. Our Baptist church that I attended became charismatic in one night.
Wow.
The entire church got the Holy Ghost in one night.
Well, that sort of changes things, doesn't it?
It did. But yet at the same time, I did not know all. And so when I saw Sister Gwen and heard her minister, I was just blown away. First of all, Mama Shirley turned my life and world upside down. I said, this lady has Jesus coming in her living room. I want that. You know? And then Sister Gwen comes and she ministers and she says, okay, I want to pray for every one of the students. So she lined us up, you know, side by side along the line. And I was near the end, on this end, and she was coming down. And I had never been prophesied over before like that. I was a Baptist, Baptist boy.
Right.
You know, and I'd heard about prophecy, but I'd never experienced it.
Yeah.
And this was new to me. And so I'm watching her come down the line and I'm thinking, you know, this is going to be different. And it was. She scared me.
She scared a lot of people.
She scared me, too, for a long time.
He ran from her.
Yeah.
That's another story. We won't go there.
Yeah. She came to me, and she went to pray for me and put her hands forward, and she jumped back and went, oh! And I went, what have I done wrong? Is she seeing something? I thought I had done something wrong. And she didn't lean forward. Oh, and she said, I have never seen this before. And I'm thinking, what? As a little Baptist boy, I'm scared to death. I'm shaking, just about shaking, you know. She said, I see you being knitted together in your mother's womb for the end times, and you're going to carry the spirit of Elijah to the world.
Oh.
And she said, I see the globe turning three times. So your ministry will circle the world three times in the end times. So don't be worried. Your greatest ministry is not till the end.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I was just shattered in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
I'm thinking, okay, I'm 18 in times. How long is that going to be? Well, I'm 66.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, when Sharon was 18, when you had your encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, under Sister Gwen. I heard the Holy Spirit say, I want you 100%, and I want you right now. And as time went on, within a few weeks, I was thinking, well, I've already got a scholarship at the music school at Western Michigan University. I'll just go for a year.
Yeah.
And then I came to the first World Convention in Dogpatch. Uh-huh. And
that was my first one, too, Dogpatch.
Well, yeah, this was 76.
Mine was in 78.
Yeah. So nobody prophesied over me. I don't even remember a moment when it happened, but it was like I gradually came to the realization that if I went to college, I would never serve God.
Oh, wow.
So, my thought was, I'll go for 1 year and then I'll serve God. Nope. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then it was when Sister Gwen was speaking.
Oh yeah,
that you heard the word.
Yeah, I heard the Lord say you'll take her place when she's gone.
Oh wow!
And that was 35 years later.
It was 37 years later when it came to pass.
37 years later. So though the vision tarry, wait for it.
Yeah. I know what you mean because I've spoken all over the world and ministered all over the world, and I've come close to almost circling the globe. I said, Lord, I've been around almost one time. There's two more to come. I'm hanging on to that.
Yes, absolutely.
Last night when I was praying, I said, Lord, remember Sister Gwen's prophecy? Mm-hmm. I said, I'm hanging on to that. I'm not letting it go. I want that fulfilled in my life. I want everything written in my book in heaven. I want to complete it before you call me home or the rapture takes place, whatever. You know, which way.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, you had a similar situation with what I just described for myself about having to make a choice.
Yes.
Of, are you going to go on to college? Are you going to go on to what the world has to offer? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to serve God? So tell us that story.
Well, when I was 22 years old, I got involved in a college scholarship program because I was wanting, college students need money.
Right.
And I was a so-so, I would call senior. So I got involved in this program where you could, men and young girls, it was called the International Cinderella Girl and Prince Charming Talent Competition. And they gave out college scholarships. It was for college students. And by the miracle of God, I won the Southeastern Prince Charming Competition, which allowed me to go to the international competition where they gave away larger sums of money and also a new car. And I'm thinking, I'd love to have a new car as a 22-year-old. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Lord was gracious and merciful, and I came in second. Didn't win, but came in second. And
well, that gets you a college scholarship.
Yeah. I got some money for that. And was also the people, some of the people were there, were big producers in, this was in California, in Caesar's Palace in Lake Tahoe, where we were doing the performance and the show, and it was televised worldwide. And some of the people working with us, and so, and the judges, two of the judges, one was Barbie Benton. I don't know if you remember her or not. She was Academy Award actress, and she was also had a hit number one single, and unfortunately, she was also Playmate of the Year.
Oh dear!
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, those accolades seem to go together, don't they?
Exactly. And also, that another gentleman was some big soap opera star on these soap opera shows. You know, I recognized him, but didn't know who he was. Mm-hmm. And then another one was a producer who was also produced songs and had a studio in California, and he wrote Blue Suede Shoes and other things like that, and for Elvis and stuff. And another one was John Wayne's
manager.
And he also had a school for actors. And so I did my thing there and sang and everything. And also one of the people was Dr. Joyce Brothers.
Hmm.
She was my dance partner on the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Got the dance with Dr. Joyce Brothers. And I got offered contracts to record from the man who did the recording, and got offered a contract to go to with John Wayne's guy, moved permit to California. And they said that I had the ability to become a star, is what you want to call it, you know. And I went back home to Georgia, and started praying and talking with my pastor friends who were my mentors and my family. And I just felt, no, that's not what God wants. I'm supposed to do ministry. And so I just, did what God's following into the ministry.
Wow. Yeah. That is so tremendous.
Yeah.
We make lots of choices in life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, sometimes you get that big carrot.
Mm. Oh, my.
Sometimes you get that big opportunity.
Yes.
I had it in my head personally that, I would go to music school and... vocal was my main thing, but I was also a bassoonist, believe it or not, but not a good one. But my thought was, well, I'll go to school to become a music teacher unless somebody discovers me.
Oh. Well, actually, when she would sing something from the Sounds of Music or the Karen Carpenter, to hear her, Sharon sing something of Karen Carpenter's song, you'd have a hard time telling it wasn't Karen Carpenter. That's what she modeled her voice after.
Yeah. But I started out listening to Julie Andrews on Sound of Music.
Oh, yes.
So I learned all of those songs, and I'd stand out in the backyard on the stump and sing, "The Hills Are Alive," all that stuff.
Yeah. I never knew that.
I understand.
That's
totally
amazing. We're going to be married 44 years in a couple of weeks here, and you never told me that one.
Yeah, the first song I did was "To God Be the Glory."
Oh, really?
That's just what I sang in front of the audience. And the second song I did was from "It's No Business Like Show Business."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I wanted to let them know that I was a Christian.
And yeah.
But then you had to do something that was a little, it was an old Broadway musical.
Sure.
And I love the old Broadway musicals.
Yeah. You and I were talking before we started this about how we both love musicals.
Oh, yes.
We were both into musicals,
yes.
Right? But I think there is something about maybe God wants some kind of Christian musicals again.
Oh, I do too. Very much so. It's been in my heart. Matter of fact, when I went to teach at the Christian high school that I was at, we started doing musicals and theater, and I became not only teaching high school science, but also became the drama teacher.
Wow.
Yeah. And when we go to drama competitions, my team was known for bringing Christian drama.
Wow.
And that's what we always focused on, was to get the message of Jesus Christ out through singing or through drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't get into going to movies and things like that.
Yeah.
Do they even do musicals anymore? I have no idea.
There's been a few. I think it was called, I just blank on the name of it. It was a big hit, and it was about Barnum Bailey, how he started in New York City.
Oh.
It was a big musical. It was a huge smash.
Wow.
And the vocals in there are incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's just something about song that conveys a message that goes beyond just speaking.
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand from what research I've done in history is that, and it's limited, it's not depth, but the musical died out and then came back during the Renaissance through the church.
Wow.
The church used it to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ in musical form because the people did not read.
Oh,
or if they did, they were only educated or of the religious persuasion. So they started doing musicals in the church and plays in the church to draw the people. And that's where it came back during the Renaissance, was in the church. It died out, and then the church brought it back.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, you have Handel writing all of those oratorios.
Yeah, Handel's Messiah just sends chills up my spine every time.
Yeah, that was so anointing.
A lot of times I just start crying.
Yeah,
that was part of my growing up, you know, because my mother and brother were professional violinists, and so they perform it every year. Mm-hmm. You know, like on Friday night, they'd have the professional soloists, and on Sunday afternoon, the student soloists. And so they were in the orchestra because it was a combination of professional and students. So I got dragged to that every year, you know, but it gets in you, you know.
It does.
And
then, it's so
then to get to sing parts of it, too.
Yeah,
you know,
I've loved that.
My younger brother, it got into him also. I tell him all the time, I said, I love you, brother, but sometimes you just make me so mad because he's so talented musically. when he was like 12 years old, he walked past the piano and hit a few keys. Oh, that sounds pretty. Within a year, he's playing anything you can think of. Just had about 5 months of lessons.
Wow.
And can play a piano like nobody's business and sing unbelievably. And then he was in musical theater in high school. And they said, we got to have somebody to tap dance. He said, oh, I'll do it. The leader said, do you tap dance? No, but I'll learn. And he did.
Yeah.
He learned it within just a few weeks and tap dance.
Wow.
You know, creatives.
Yeah.
Creative people are just often able to pick up something that they've never done before.
He's highly intelligent. Also, when they tested him in high school, he always tested at think tank level.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
So he has the brain and also the talent.
Wow.
I said, you just make me sick.
No, but you've got your own set of gifts.
Yeah.
And I want to just say this, that I admire, and I don't know you well, but I admire knowing your prayer life.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about how you came into a prayer life.
I'm going to be honest with you. Shirley Smith birthed me into my prayer life. Mm-hmm. It was not until I moved in with Shirley and James. I had an apartment living while I was going to college at the Bible school there in 77 and 78. And it was getting tight financially. And I started hanging out with James and Shirley. And they'd invite me over a lot and then spending time with them. Their daughter, Jamie, and I become fast, close friends. She's a year younger than I am, almost 2 years. And we just became fast friends. They said, listen, there's no use you paying that rent. Just come on and start living with us. They had a huge house. And said, we got an extra bedroom. Nobody uses it. And I started seeing her prayer life. And then, of course, she said, come on. And she'd take me into the living room and we spend hours in prayer and seeking God and fasting. And I did not know that level of prayer existed.
Hmm.
And then as I got there, I became so hungry for it.
Wow. Mm.
It's like, I got to have more.
Yeah.
And we would spend hours in prayer and worship. And it was just, it was the glory of God would show up and the presence of God. And you would just feel like your body was just being renewed during that times of prayer and intercession. Shirley and I, until she passed away recently, we talked about that, still talk about the 70s and the 80s when God had us together and James and the times that we spent in prayer and intercession. And anytime Mama was getting ready to go on a trip, I would a lot of times say, call her up, hey, Mama, surely you're getting ready to go on a trip somewhere, aren't you? She said, yeah, how did you know? I said, oh, in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, watch out for this, and look out for this. And she called me back after, exactly what you said is exactly what happened.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. And I had no idea.
Right.
It's just the Holy Spirit.
Right. When when you get into that place of prayer, you get word of knowledge.
Yes.
And you get visions.
Yes.
And you get prophecies.
Yeah.
And
yes, you do.
It's part of that life.
Yeah. As a pastor and as a minister, God called me first as a servant and second as a teacher. And I believe with all my heart is that being taught by Shirley to be an intercessor was the key to all my ministry. It was that intercession, because I'm a firm believer that not everybody's a prophet.
Right.
You know, but people that are prophets are who flow in prophecy. Like I tell people, I'm a minister. I flow in prophecy. I'm not a prophet. But if you're going to flow in prophecy or be a prophet, you had better be an intercessor. If you're not an intercessor, I'm sorry. You're not a prophet.
Wow.
That's my personal opinion. As my grandfather used to say, that's like noses. Everybody has one. I credit the intercessory prayer that was taught to me by Mama Shirley as what changed it, changed my life. With Sister Gwen, watching her pray over people and the heart that poured out of her. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And to see how she moved with the Spirit of God. And same thing with Mama Shirley. It's like, Lord, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
I want what they have.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful that God gave me spiritual mothers that didn't look at where I came from.
Yeah.
That taught me where I needed to go.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
And I say this often, that spiritual mothers know better what a son needs more than the son himself needs.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that happened was that Shirley and James took you to Mexico.
Yes.
Tell us that story.
I had went through a tragedy in my life in my mid-20s, and I called James, and James said, son, come home. So I came home and back to Little Rock, North Little Rock, and began the healing process with them again, prayer, fasting, seeking God. And as God began to heal me and bring me back to where I needed to be. And I was there about 2 years this time. And then a friend of ours who was a missionary in Mexico in a place called the Rincón de Romas Aguas Calientes, Paulina Schinners. Shirley and her had been friends for many years. And she said, we're going to Mexico with Paulina. I said, oh, that's wonderful. I've never been to Mexico, never been on a mission trip. Mm-hmm. She said, but you're going to stay. And I look at Mom, I said,
what?
What? I said, yes, you need to go and you need to stay with Paulina for a while. I said, okay, Mama. I trusted her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I trusted her.
Yeah. She had a proven track record.
Oh, yes, very much so. Her and James both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If something was going on in my life, James would know it. He would call and he'd know what was going on.
Wow.
He was not active like Shirley was, but he was in tune with the Spirit.
Glory to God.
Yeah. And I said, okay, Mama, and I fell in love with Sister Paulina. Oh, we had the best time. And God, the first time I ever saw Jesus, literally, he came into the house where we were at, in Paulina's house. I got down there and I traveled around with them, helping them do the ministry and spoke a little bit. And then came time, they were there for about a month or maybe a little less than a month. That came time for them to go back home. And I was staying there with Paulina. So I got in my room and I got my Bible, my little notepad, which I still do notepads. I'm old school. I got one sitting right here. And I began to, because I want to write down what God's saying to me.
Yeah.
I said, okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to preach. You know, and he said, sit down, shut up, and listen. You're not going to do anything until I put what I need to put into you.
Wow.
I said, yes, sir. So I told Paulina what the Lord had said. And I said, and the Lord, I'm supposed to start a fast. She said, I will fast with you.
Wow.
So we started a fast. And on the third day, I'm in my room, and Paulina is in the living room, which I can see through the door to the living room. And a young lady that she had sent to Bible school training to become a pastor, she was there also. She didn't live far away. And she was there also in the living room, and they were talking. And I was just seeking the Lord and praying and asking, okay, God, you know what? The presence of God began to change in the room. And the next thing I know, I am laying on the floor. where I'm laying, I can see out the door of my room into the living room. And I happen to notice Pauline is on the floor, and so is the young lady. We're all three on the floor, and we're all three focused to the center of the living room. And I look up, and the ceiling of the living room opens up, and glory clouds start coming down.
Wow.
And then the feet in the robe.
Oh, my.
And I felt like I was melting into the floor.
Wow.
My DNA felt like it was coming apart.
Wow.
And I said, Jesus. I knew it was Jesus. I said, Jesus, I can't breathe. I can't. I said, Lord, I almost couldn't handle it. The glory. Never saw his face because the glory was so bright.
Yeah. Mm.
Saw his body and his robe and the glory and his hands, but never saw the face because I could not raise my head up enough to see. Once this started taking place, I was literally felt like melting into the floor. And one time I said, Lord, you got to stop. You're killing me. I'm going to die. It was so strong.
Wow.
And the Lord began to tell me and speak to me and said, son, I've called you for the end times. You're going to be a son of God. And I thought to myself, I know this is kind of off track, but I thought to myself right then, I'm human. I'm sorry. Back then, there was a thing going around called the sons of God, and they'd gotten into a lot of false teachings. And I said, Lord, that's false teaching. And he said, no. And he said, talk to Paulina. Literally. And I said, okay. And little by little, the glory began to change me. And I began to, and it just little by little, he lifted and went back up and was gone. It was probably an hour later before I was able to get off the floor.
Wow.
And I was so weak. And I finally was able to get to the living room. And Paulina and the young lady are now sitting in their chairs, and they're the same way. They're just wiped out. And I asked, I said, did you? They said, yep. And they described exactly what I had seen. They had seen also. And we had not communicated to each other until an hour later.
Wow.
And then I asked Paulina, I said, Paulina, what does this mean, the sons of God? And she took and taught me for the next several days, what it really meant to be a son of God and the revelation of the sons of God.
Wow.
And that turned my world upside down and put me on the path that I'm still on today.
Wow.
Yeah. Since I was about 25 then. I'm 66. So.
Wow.
40-year journey. And he's just as powerful now as he was then.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Oh, praise God. Very
so good. For years you have taught school. You've pastored.
Yes. I was a youth pastor for many years. Matter of fact, they used to call me the oldest continuing youth pastor in captivity.
That's hilarious.
And the Lord gracious was to allow me to be a youth pastor. They're my heart. Youth are my heart. Then the Lord moved me in to become a senior pastor. And the church I went to was a small church, so I had to get a job. So I have a degree in Christian education and a minor in science. So I became a science teacher at the local private Christian school, which was a very large school. It was one of the largest in the states. We had, at the time, about 800 students.
Wow. Yeah,
and so I became the middle school science teacher. Then the Lord moved me up to become the high school science teacher, which I love because I'm with kids. I preach to the adults on Sunday and Wednesday night, and I hang out with the kids Monday through Friday, you know.
That's awesome.
You know, so I said, how do you do it? I said, just bounce right along with them.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
And I looked at that, and I was talking to a friend of mine. He says, Ken, you're in the modern day youth pastor now because the school, he said, is a ripe ground for youth. So I was able to, praise God, able to lead many young people to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And then the school asked me to not only teach science, but also to teach the 10th graders theology. So after that, I taught the 10th graders theology. We started from the very book of the Bible to the end of the Bible.
Wow.
So the Lord was just so gracious to me to allow me to do that.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
And I miss the kids tremendously. I do. And the Lord then, after I was there at that school for 17 years.
Wow.
While I was ministering, pastoring and stuff. So, and then the Lord said, okay, time's coming to an end. And the Lord moved me on from that. And then I was still pastoring, had a really severe automobile accident, me and my family. And I was the only one injured, praise the Lord for that. But it's a miracle I survived.
Yeah.
A lady pulled out in front of us, and I T-boned her. And my airbag did not deploy. And I hit the door frame, the metal door frame between the door and the windshield with my head and neck, and almost broke my neck and messed my back up. Knee went through the end of the dash. And I've had two major back surgeries, two neck surgeries, a knee surgery, and bone from both hips to rebuild my neck and back with, and metal plates and screws and rods. And they said I would never walk again. Well, they're wrong. I walk.
Yeah. Glory to God. But what did you say to the doctor?
I said to the doctor, I said, but Jesus. That's my exact words to him. But Jesus. I walk because of Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they said, well, because there's places in my spine that are still, they can't do surgery on because of where they're located. And so I still have ruptured discs that are cutting nerves in two. And they said, well, eventually you'll be in a wheelchair. I said, no. Yep. When I go in to see another, they said, we're going to send you to this specialist. And I walk in and they look at my records. They said, you just walked through that door? I said, mm-hmm. They said, that's impossible. Not with Jesus, it's not.
Yeah.
They said, and you're working? Mm-hmm. No, that's not possible. There's no way you can work. And then they had, that was the first surgery. The second surgery they had to do on my back. He told me that, he said, it'll take you 5 years to get over it.
Wow.
And it did. He was right. I was housebound for 5 years. Of the last 7 years, five of those was in my home. I had to give up pastoring. Leave my church and the ministry because I was not able to walk except for 1 hour a day. And they would only let me sit up for an hour a day. And they said, because in the past, the surgery I had, you would usually be in a body cast for a year. And I said, thank God for the new technology.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Yes.
And the first thing that I told you earlier that I did when they released me was I said, Mama Shirley, we're going to convention.
Wow.
And that's where I came. I came back because the last time I was here in the Valley was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I said, and the last convention I physically attended was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the accident happened after that. But I watched it on YouTube when y'all started doing YouTube live streaming. I started watching it there through the TV.
Oh, wow.
Mm. But this was my first time back. I said, I'm going to convention. I said, I'm sorry. I said, that you know, I got to get back into what I know, you know, because. Wow. It was a tough 5 years, but the same thing, God poured so much into me.
That was my next question.
Oh,
so what was the outcome spiritually while you're cloistered with God for 5 years?
I devoured books that God would put in my pathway. I think I read I haven't finished reading them all, but I'm close. Rick Joyner's books.
Mm-hmm.
I just went blank on the name on the
one. Final Quest?
The Final Quest. I have read that thing several times.
Yeah, we've read that two or three times.
It's
yeah.
One of my favorite books in all the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And God just started pouring into me and started teaching me.
Right.
Because for so long, I had poured out.
Exactly.
I had, and one time it was almost like I felt like, well, I reckon God had to sit me down so he could, you know, get me where I needed to be.
Because he has an assignment for you to go around the world three times in the end times.
Exactly. And I said, well, Lord, and you know, like Mexico, you sit me down, told me to shut up so I could listen again.
Wow.
And the Lord really began to share things with me and show me things that, honestly, I've not shared with people because, you know, I thought people would not receive it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then when I came to convention, lo and behold, what's being taught is exactly what the Lord had been telling me for 5 years.
Glory to God.
And I'm thinking, I'm on target.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm on target. And I started writing a book on frequency and sound from heaven, the frequencies and sounds of heaven. I spoke to one of the men who were speaking, Etienne Blum. And at the last service, I got the nerve and the courage to go talk to him. And I just asked him about sound and frequency. He says, well, Ken, tell me what you have.
Yeah.
And I told him the research and where God was leading me. He said, I have everything you have, but God will not let me write that book. Please write that book, and I want a copy.
Oh, wow.
And so I went to go finish my book. And Satan has fought it. I have not been able to finish it in 2 years because I had it on a laptop that was, I'm not going to say the name.
Yeah.
Very expensive, though. Let's put it that way. Very expensive laptop. A month after its warranty ran out, it went black.
Wow.
I was opening it to work on it. It went black. And I had not made a hard copy.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Or
that was my fault. Or a backup. That was my fault. So it's been stuck. I took it to the experts. They're experts. And they couldn't even get it to open to get the stuff out. It took them for, it took months and months and months for they was able to finally get it onto a flash drive.
Wow.
And the flash drive is written in that certain company's processing, and other computers won't read it. So now I found someone who has that computer. So I'm going to take it to them and please have it transposed into another style so that other computers will read it so I can finish it.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's.
Wow, wow.
Yeah.
Well, Devil, wow, doesn't, wow. Devil don't want that book out.
No, he has fought it tooth and nail.
Wow.
He has. But, you know, that's where God had me. He had me for 5 years pouring into me.
Yes.
And I'll be honest with you, I was never that type person who listened to people on TV to preach or teach. God wouldn't let me. Mm-hmm. The whole time I was pastoring and ministering, every once in a while, he'd let me listen to a certain individual.
Yeah.
But he would not let me. He says, no, I want to give this to you. I don't want you to learn this from someone. God would give me things and I go preach it. Oh, you heard that from Brother So and said, who? Oh, you don't know him? No, I've never heard of him. Oh, he preached that. I said, I didn't get it from him. This is what the Lord gave me.
Yeah.
You know.
That's how you know it's the Lord.
Exactly.
Because he's given it to somebody else too.
Exactly right. And that's where God had me for 5 years. He had me pouring into me, teaching me. The teacher needed to be taught again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called continuing education.
That's exactly right. And who better than the Holy Spirit?
Exactly. He's the teacher.
Yeah. He's the teacher.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you came to our convention this year.
Yes.
And you had an experience. Tell us about that.
It was on the 22nd of May of this year, and the group called 3 o'clock.
Yeah, 3 o'clock session.
Yeah, I loved them. Awesome. I loved all the worship because I'm the type of person who likes many different styles of worship.
Yeah.
And
we sure have them.
I do. I love many different styles of worship. And they were leading the worship. And during the worship, I had an open vision.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the back on the left in my station where I was stationed to help serve and do whatever you need to be done. And I look up and the heavens open and the ceiling opens and this gigantic marble staircase comes out of the heavens over the singers and the bottom of it lands in the altar.
Wow.
And I've seen staircases and ladders from heaven before. And of course, I knew what was coming next, the angels.
Sure.
Yeah.
And here come the worshiper angels. They came in and started worshiping with us. And then came in the warfare angels.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, came in. And the Lord says, no, don't pay attention to them. Pay attention to the details of the staircase. He's never told me that before.
Wow. Mm.
So I started looking. I said, oh, it's marble. He said, yes, it's marble. And he said, as a science teacher, you know how marble is formed. I said, yeah, it's under great intense pressure and heat. And it starts out as one type of rock. And then under that intense heat and pressure, it becomes marble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also he said, you know, the impurities that are in that first stone is what gives the marble its design and its color and its patterns and makes it beautiful.
Yes.
So he takes our impurities.
Oh, that preaches, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He said, I take these impurities, your failures, your faults, and I take it and put it under pressure and intense heat and fire and change you and make you into, you know, marble, you know, into a new rock.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he said, when my people sacrifice with praise and obedience through that fire and that pressure, and they live in obedience to me and walk through and sacrifice for me, they become the stairway for the angels, for the heavenly host to descend on.
Wow.
So you actually become the steps, the stairway, because you have paid the price for the heavens to be opened there and for them to come in to worship with you.
Beautiful.
You are the marble. You are the staircase.
Wow.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And it just blew me away. I'm just sitting going, my mouth hanging open. And and then, of course, then the Lord told me 1 Peter chapter 2 about living stones, that we are, you know, we are living stones.
We're living
and becoming
stones.
Living stones.
Yeah.
Right.
And I wrote it down. As soon as it was finished, I got my notebook was right there, as usual. Went to writing as fast as I could. And I got through, and the next day, Matthew comes by. You know, Matthew was just here.
Matthew Reams.
Yeah, came by. I said, Matthew, read this. And he read it. He looks at me, he said, dude, You know how he is.
Yeah.
He said, did that staircase look like the staircase from Gone with the Wind, the big winding? I said, yes, you described it to a T. He said, I saw it not before that.
Wow. Hmm.
So there was my first confirmation.
Glory to God.
That was the first thing I said. So I got it, and I said, well, take a copy. And I gave him a copy to give to you, but it was so busy, I'm sure he just forgot to give it to you.
And, or he might have given it to me, exactly. And it got lost in the papers.
Exactly. That's why I didn't want to disturb you, because I knew you were so busy.
Yeah.
So busy. And the Lord has said, this is the new teaching I want you to start working on.
Wow.
Yeah, how through sacrifice and through praise and being obedient that we open the heavens so that the host of heavens can come down and minister with us and among us.
Amen.
Amen.
And to get to that point, before you become a stairway, you go through some pressure and some heat.
Oh, yes. It's only through that pressure. It's only through being obedient and walking through the sacrifice, because it's, you know, paying the price that we become, we change from the original stone and become the living stone.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Wow. That's tremendous.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's a Selah moment, isn't it? Isn't it? Well, Pastor Ken, would you please pray for our listeners just as the Lord leads you?
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, our Christ. I want to praise you, first of all, for your love, Lord. You love us so much, God, that you sent your precious Son for us. And God, not only for us that are here, but for everyone that is listening. You poured out yourself that they may be saved, healed, delivered, oh God. Whatever they are walking through right now, their children are walking through, your precious souls, God, we stand upon the word of God and believe that you're going to work a miracle in their lives.
Yes.
We stand upon the word of God for those that are sick, that by the stripes of Jesus, they are healed.
Yes.
We stand upon the word of God that said, you sent your word to heal us of all our diseases.
Yes.
You said in your word that you rose with healing in your wings for us, oh God.
Yes.
And we release that healing word right now. And let it go through the airwaves, Lord, and it will not return void, but it will accomplish healing and miracles will take place.
Yes.
Right now. And Father, we release salvation.
Yes.
Father, you said no man comes unto the Father save the Holy Spirit draw them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Holy Spirit, draw them.
Yes.
Draw them, Lord. Give them dreams, visions, visitations, God. Send people by to minister to them, one to plant, one to tend, one to water, one to reap the harvest.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I just thank you, and I praise you for your mercies. And Father, for those right now who's walking through a dark spot.
Yes.
Pour in your mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Pour in your peace. I release the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, through these airways. Habashi. Move, Lord. Move, Lord. Let peace fill each person who is listening. Go into that room. Go into that car. Go into the hospital room. Holy Spirit, Prince of Peace, come in and overshadow them.
Yes, Lord.
And fill them with your peace, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, with your salvation, Lord.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
We thank you, God, for the miracles that are going to take place. Oh,
yes,
Lord.
Yes.
I thank you for the deliverances that are going to take place, Lord. Those that are bound up in darkness, oh God, you're going to set them free with your marvelous light of salvation.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I just bind those chains of darkness and break them off of them in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Every chain shall break and fall off.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Every stronghold must fall.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, God.
Yes, Father.
Lord, right now I lift up the Native Americans, Lord, they just come to my heart right now.
Yes, Lord.
God, I ask you that your Holy Spirit would let a fire of revival burn through the Native Americans. Lord, every tribe will begin to burn and begin to seek after you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Let miracles flow among them, God. Let salvation pour out among them. And we bind up that spirit of alcoholism among them. And we bind up that spirit of poverty among them.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And we release the power of the living God in among their churches, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Oh, God, that they'll no longer be cold, but they will become red hot with the glory and fire of God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
And God, my heart goes now to China, Lord.
Mm.
They are suffering with so many floods and disaster, Lord. Touch your people there, Lord. Be merciful unto them, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Let salvation reign through them, Lord Jesus. As the rains come in the natural, let it come in the supernatural. Let the Spirit of God pour out upon China.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Father.
And move upon them right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Father, we thank you. And Father, I just ask you that your Holy Spirit will fill this valley.
Yes,
Lord.
Ingletal, Lord. The Valley of the Angels.
Thank you.
Father, I thank you for the angels that came to visit me the other night here in the valley.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God, for their ministry. They touched me when I needed you the most.
Thank you, Father.
And I ask you to send your ministering angels now to each one that's crying out.
Yes.
That's hungry and thirsting for Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And for those who do not know what they need. They're just crying out for mercy, for deliverance, for something to grab hold of, for hope.
Yes.
And you are the hope that passes all understanding, God.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
And just pour into them, Lord.
Yes.
And bring salvation to them. And bring healing and deliverance. Father. And Father, shake your people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to wake up. People.
Yes.
It's time to wake up. Look unto the harvest, for it is white.
Amen.
Laborers, come forth.
Yes.
Stand up. We call them from the north, south, east, and west to come.
Yes.
To come into the field.
Yes.
And to labor.
Thank you, Father.
To reap the harvest.
Yes, Lord.
For that pastor, that minister that has been wounded, that's been hurt, God, bring healing to their souls.
Yes, Lord.
Bring healing to their spirit and raise them up with a new fire, with a new boldness, with a new fresh word of God in revelation. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I praise you for it.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, I ask you to touch my brothers and sisters here at Global Outpouring. Home away from home is the way I see about
it. Yes, amen.
Bless my home, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless them when they come in and when they go out.
Thank you, Father.
Whatever they put their hands to, let it prosper.
Yes, Lord.
And we call in the people that's needed to minister to, and those who are come, we call the eagles to come and to minister here.
Yes,
and we call them in now in the name of Jesus. It's time.
Yes.
Come. To minister. And we call in the new Christians to come to be trained so they too can become eagles and go out.
Yes.
Send them out, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
And we praise you for it. And they ask you to touch every young person that was here and every worker that was here at this retreat, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That you will change their lives forever.
Yes,
Father.
Let it be an eternal change, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you, God. That we had a chance to step out of time and step into eternity.
Yes.
Let us live in eternity.
Yes, Father.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your review helps the podcasting platform suggest this podcast to other listeners who are also looking for a great move of the Holy Spirit. Check out our website at globaloutpouring.org to find out more information, read our blogs, connect with us, and donate. You can also browse our web store for life-changing anointed books. Until next time, this is Sharon Buss.
And I'm Philip Buss.
God bless you with His overwhelming, loving presence.